There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the hour. And our guest, second Tuesday of the month, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Lots to talk about with the sheriff. I do want to, so many texts coming in here, but this one is special to me. All your texts are special. This one's just extra special. Talk about St. Jude's and doing what we can. I mean, because Webb Jackson said they had to cancel the golf tournament. It's right now they're on for the Joy of Life Mardi Gras Ball, but if that doesn't happen. These are ways we raise money for fantastic charities, and this one just so special. It's always been to us, and when we got our station involved with St. Jude's, I was just a great relationship with those folks. But texter says St. Jude's is incredible. My wife is patient, and he gives a number. Maybe I shouldn't give that number. Patient number, or some number in that area. What many do not know is St. Jude follows their kids through life. My wife is part of a long-term follow-up study, and every few years, she and we go up for a battery of tests that aid in research of the different childhood cancers. Her file is at least 6 inches thick. If you're in search of a charity, this is the one. But they follow those children, because I think I know the general age group of this texter, probably my age, a little bit older, so still following that patient. Says something.
Fantastic. Of course, we at the Sheriff's Office are proud to participate every year with a run from St. Jude's to Mobile every year. It's been going on several years, and we have deputies that, and corrections officers that participate. It's a 3-day run.
I hope. Is that going to be affected by this?
I don't know, but probably so.
Yeah, so that's what I want everybody to remember. If you think about it and say, okay, we'd always go, we'd either do the run or sponsor a runner, or we'd always go to the Joy Life Ball, or whatever charity, other charities as well. You know, we do this golf tournament. If you don't do it this year, then remember kind of what your donation was. Mm-hmm. And I would say if it was good enough to give then in 2019, then those charities still need your help this
they
year.
They sure do, so, more so than ever.
Just a reminder there. So y'all have local charities that are having to cancel events. Let's talk about how to give people a direct chance to help out and make a donation. Good to see you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
It's a lot to talk about today. I want to start off on some of the happier news. How about that boat parade?
Oh, that was fantastic. It was great to see an outpouring of support. I actually attended it, and it was great to see a good outpouring of support for Back to Blue. And
give me an idea. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to your deputies? Is it just that's something, or does it mean, everybody's not the same, I know, but talking to deputies, do they feel good seeing that?
Oh, certainly they feel good, but, you know, it's a mixed bag. You turn on the TV and you see the national news and you see people just threatening and assaulting police and arguing and screaming and putting down. You read all these national news, but then more at the local level, you feel and see good support. And
so when y'all see signs like that, when you see a boat parade like that, it does make a difference.
Oh, I think it does. It certainly affects me. I'm proud of the South Alabamians and maybe South Floridians that participated in it. And it's good to see that people are, you know, I don't want to say fighting back, because we're not trying to just standing up and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're attacking law enforcement for what, a couple of bad apples, and you're trying to attack the whole thing. And this drove a thing home to me the other day, because it seemed like they're just really teaming up against law enforcement. But a school teacher, because otherwise I wouldn't bring it up, but a school teacher says, look, we've had bad apples as teachers. We've had some people who were pedophiles or something, but just because you have one don't mean all school teachers are bad. Well, and that exactly is so true. You know, our school teachers are great, but it seems like you have one bad apple of a police officer, and all of a sudden every police officer is bad. Let's defund them. Let's take away all the support. Right. Let's attack them. Let's assault them. Let's throw firebombs on them. It's crazy.
You know, people argue the flip side of this, Sheriff, and they'll say, mm-hmm. yeah, but if you have one bad talk show host, you know, they don't have the power that law enforcement does, mm-hmm. right? They're not arresting people. They're not doing these things. So it's different in that. But I still don't understand even the person that says that. That's still based on the individual bad officer versus everybody else who's an officer. I mean, you know, I get that there's a different standing. Mm-hmm. With law enforcement, you know, just with that job goes a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of responsibility, and it's different
you're granted the right to use deadly force right. under certain circumstances, which is a huge, heavy burden to carry. And it gets back to why you've got to have the right people, the right trained people, and weed out the bad ones and keep only the most professional. So we've got to raise the standards to be able to get to that point.
You know, you and I have had this discussion over the years about citizens that do have an issue, whether, you know, police officers, sheriff's deputy, wherever, you know, whatever level. People say, well, I'd report something, but it wouldn't do any good. I've heard you tell me. I've heard Chief Batiste tell me. I've heard Public Safety Director Barber tell me. I've heard Sheriff Mack tell me. It does make, if people have an issue with an officer reporting that, y'all want that.
Absolutely, because you're our eyes and ears in the community, because we know that generally a police officer is not going to do something bad in front of another police officer, so to speak.
Right.
You know, so we need to hear it. Even if sometimes we can't sustain a complaint for that one thing,
right.
If we get two or three complaints on the same officer from people that don't even know one another, then we say, oh, wait a minute, mm-hmm. there's a pattern here, and that helps. And I've weeded out of many a bad officer because of a collective group of complaints, you know.
Yeah, I think this started off with a discussion. Somebody said, well, I made a complaint about so-and-so, and then nothing happened, mm-hmm. but it ended up happening because there were cumulative.
Somebody, right.
So it is worth somebody who has some, you know, if we're trying to, because I'm somebody who says we better fund the police and fund the police better and demand more. And part of that, I guess, is mm-hmm. getting the information. If there was a bad officer, or bad deputy, you want to know about that.
Absolutely.
It's not something that you'd like, la, 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 I don't want to hear you. Probably.
We want to hear it. And again, like I say, the community are our eyes and ears, you know, for us in the administration.
What do you think as you sit here and look at the national story? There's some places where they don't have law enforcement. Put yourself in those shoes. Can you imagine having the scenario in like a Portland or Seattle where you had no support from the mayor's office for law enforcement?
Oh, my gosh.
What would that feel like?
Well, it'd feel like everybody's leaving that police department going to sheriff's offices.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
Yeah, in Portland, in Seattle, and places like that, Rochester, you're going to see that. You know, they're blaming the police department for the acts. May have been justified, may have not been justified. It still remains to be investigated and all that stuff. But when the mayors and the council start attacking their own employees, you know, you're out there on that limb by yourself, and police officers saying, "Well, look, I got to get out of here, get somewhere else."
Do they? I mean, pragmatically, what do you think they're thinking? Because I see these stories. Do they not realize that? If every officer on a given day says, I'm out, and goes, mm-hmm. you know, and they're gone.
Well, we're going to see that. This is going to have, you know, we're going to see the problem with this ramifications for years to come, because once you start down that road and you start losing a lot of police officers in some of these cities, you can't just go hire a police officer tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and then if you can't just hire the right one, you got to train him. Then you got to figure out, okay, is he competent to do the job after he's been trained? And
right.
So these cities are going to lose. And I saw where some city has took away or going to deny the ability of the police department to respond to domestic violence calls. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking, well, we're going to see how long that works, because when they send this social worker out there to say, hey, Mr. Sullivan, I'm here, mm-hmm. you and your wife having a fight and all like that, and you step out with a sword or a knife or a screwdriver or a blade cutter, you know, how are they going to handle that? I mean, I get it that you know, that's not going to work, but some police departments already said they're going to do that.
Y'all are doing that because that's the job you're tasked with. I know I have enough friends in law enforcement, that's the last call y'all want to go on, but it's your job.
It's our job, and we train, and of course, can we be better trained? I guess so. As new things come available, we want to learn everything we can, but I remember as a young patrolman, one it sticks in my mind so bad, going to what was it, some kind of domestic related that turned into a mental case, going up this flight of stairs in this apartment, and there was this guy, crazy as could be, naked, had about a 3-foot sword in his arm, and he was reciting Bible verses just at the top of his lungs, just verbatim.
Holy cow.
And threatening us and all, and of course the others in the apartment complex were like, help, help. And I'm like, what are we going to do with this guy, you know? And thankfully, it was shift change, and the next shift came on, and that was the SWAT team was the next shift. Back then, they had the SWAT team was important much, but, and I thought, I want to see how y'all figure this out. But they figured it out, and eventually they got mattresses, and they rushed the guy with mattresses and took him into custody. He wasn't hurt, but, I mean, tell me how a social worker is going to handle that.
Well said. Come back for the break. I want to talk about just you look at the just a little bit of video I've seen from over there in Spanish Fort and Bass Pro Shops, and those officers that here's somebody who had already been firing their weapon.
Yes.
And they came in and used tasers, not lethal. Right. We're going to talk more about that situation. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest this hour, right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Always great to hang out with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran and your chance to ask questions of the sheriff this hour on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Although I want to kind of open up here with what I know I like. I got a lot of questions from folks. I guess it was... Yeah, last hour about, and that's what went on at Bass Pro Shops over there in Spanish Fort. And the shooting that went on, the suspect here, Robert Smith, allegedly comes from Clark County down, lots of rifles, handguns, ammunition, and goes around the side of Bass Pro Shops and starts shooting.
Yes.
Okay. My social media, when that came out, I mean, I think I got in from fishing, and it was, you know, and then a lot of communications, people saying, well, why didn't somebody shoot that person right away? And I, you know, I said, I don't have all the facts. I also don't have the decades. I won't age you too much, Sheriff, but the decades and decades and decades in law enforcement, but I can ask you. So what is that, from what we know now, how does that look like to you, if that shooting into an occupied building, or
well, obviously nobody thought something like that would happen around here, and that's why it's just blown up social media to see it. And like, why Bass Pro Shops? And of course, everybody was saying, "Oh, did you know?" Like I think you said in an early hour, did they air pump or something like that? You know, did it not fix his boat?
Right.
But I did have a conversation with Sheriff Mack yesterday, and of course, you know, he shared some details with me, but. But I think it's still far from knowing the outcome of it, but he feels like the guy was suicide by cops, what he was trying to do. And, you know, initial reports was that some lady was feeding him the clips, but it turns out she was trying to get him to stop. And I do understand this from some sources that maybe he fired a few rounds in the parking lot up in the air and he didn't get any attention initially. And so then he starts shooting into the building, I think, with the hopes that the police would come there, and he may have either ran out or, but somehow, then the police obviously arrived, and I've seen some video of it, the same as you have.
Now, the bravery of those officers, I mean,
to approach
him,
but I don't know if, I really don't know if he was armed that way or not. I knew he had something in his arm, but they approached him, and of course, obviously the taser worked on him, if you saw that, how he got tasered and immediately went to the ground. That happens that way in about 90% of those cases, but sometimes 10% of the cases, that doesn't happen. It don't even phase them, and then that's when the violence escalates and sometimes turns into deadly force having to be used. But it was a great outcome to what could have been just a terrible circumstance. But here's the deal. I'm sort of caught up, you know, like, well, why isn't it a national news story that police take somebody into custody, you know, without having to shoot him? But at the same time, you know, then I don't want to go out like, okay, we should be able to take people into custody without shooting them. I don't want that story to be out there either, because so many cases we don't have a choice but to shoot somebody.
Right.
You know, so I'm really afflicted.
It's interesting you said that, because that's kind of what was in my head when thinking about this. I said, people are like, why is this not getting national attention? I said, but I do wonder if law enforcement goes, you know, we don't, because there might be a story that's similar but missing some other piece of information. Look, where it couldn't be done.
Those cases happen every single day across this country where someone is you know, firing shots or threatening fire shots, and they're taken into custody without any harm to anybody. They happen every day. They're just not newsworthy. And so that's only newsworthy for us local because it's driven by shots fired at Bass Pro Shops.
Mm-hmm.
If it was somebody shooting up his neighborhood and police arrived and were able to talk him out and be unarmed, it wouldn't even be on the news. But Bass Pro Shops what carries the story.
Wow. As we talk about this, the other component here I've gotten a lot of questions about is the, okay, if the citizen was there mm-hmm. before law enforcement,
yes,
and this person is shooting now at the building, right?
Yes.
People were saying, I guess the first question I got over the weekend was, well, why didn't somebody, they said concealed carry, it could have been open carry, rifle in the back, why didn't somebody shoot him? I said, in my interpretation, because he wasn't directly threatening that person's life, that mm-hmm. citizen's life, or an innocent. But they said, well, what if somebody was in the store? Kind of walk us through that, the shooting.
That is a really good and very tough question, and I had the opportunity to listen to your earlier hour when you spoke on that. You did an outstanding job. I'm thinking you've become an expert on this. But so the difficulty is you can use deadly force to protect yourself or the life of another. So here in this case, you've got a guy shooting into a building. You know, if you truly could – if you could maybe see people in that building and that you saw him and he was shooting at him or something, I think it'd be clear you could use deadly force to stop him. But just shooting into a building, you know, if you're not able to articulate that you feared for someone's life and had a rational reason to understand that, then you could, you know, you'd have to have those circumstances to use deadly force. Shooting into a building, you don't know if somebody in the building had shot at him first, you know,
right.
And then all of a sudden you just up and shoot him. You don't know why he's shooting, so to speak. Now, what would really actually play out was if you were to approach him as a civilian, as would a police officer approach him, say, hey, man, stop shooting, what's going on, you know, and if he was then to turn the gun on you, and that's generally what happens with police involve themselves, they intercede, and the person generally then turns the gun on the police officer, and the police officer uses deadly force to stop the incident. So a citizen could do the same thing.
And that changes the paradigm.
Don't recommend him do it. Yeah, it changes the circumstance. Just, you know, similarly, we've got, you know, on the news a case where we investigated that murder over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that story pop up at the same time that it says that this person shot a person in the leg because they were breaking into their car.
Okay, so the circumstances, and we're still unraveling all of it, but we have a pretty good understanding. That's why we upgraded the charges. So he catches him breaking in the car. He knows who he is. He's a neighbor of his in the trailer park or whatever. So he knows who he is, breaking into it. And it appears to be no physical confrontation, and he shoots him in the leg. Then after he shoots him in the leg, he then begins kicking him in the face and causing a lot of facial damage. And the guy suffered such a tremendous wound in the leg that, you know, I don't know the, you know, autopsy or whatever, right. Either such a great loss of blood or
like femoral artery or stuff
like that, you know, then he later dies. And so in that case, you know, he had an he wasn't threatened, and so he just chose upon himself to use what turned out to be deadly force against this guy. It's just not called for. Now,
it's not better off
if the guy ran and he shot him, you know, because you've got cases there, a little more gray areas. If someone's breaking in your house, you catch them, you run and you shoot them. We've got cases there that have been ruled justifiable because they broke into your cartilage and stuff like that. But in this case, he clearly should not have just shot him. He may have thought, well, I'm so mad at you, I'm going to shoot you in the leg, thinking, okay, I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to make you pay a price, shot him in the leg, and look what it did. It caused the guy's death.
Right, and that's one of the things, too. And who knows what was in his mind, if it was a bad shot or he was trying to shoot him in the leg. But we're going to go to the break here, but is there any variance in that? We want to talk about this when we get back. I mean, people say, you know, I understand their anger, somebody taking your stuff. But
357 to the leg is pretty powerful.
And it does, but are those things equal? And what do people who conceal carry need to know? We'll talk about this more when we come back with the sheriff.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll go to the phone lines here and get your calls. Also, questions from the text line for Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Talking about the situation at Bass Pro Shops, because it led to some questions about when people could shoot, not shoot. Travis says, it's an occupied building. There is a possibility of a mass casualty with his actions. You have every right to shoot that shooter.
Well, you know, as the circumstances in hindsight, 2020, no one was injured, and so that kind of cancels that out. Of course, you could articulate, if you want to try, that, yeah, there were lives at risk, certainly were at risk, but that becomes really a difficult, and that's just a gray area in the law, whether or not someone would have the right. But very risky to introduce yourself in a situation like that, because you don't know. You may think you know, but someone inside that building could have shot at him or whatever, and he was returning fire. Just so many different circumstances. But that's why it's best, you know, for law enforcement to intercede in those if can, and that's what happened in this case, and it proved successful. But if a civilian would have approached him, maybe he would have turned the gun on a civilian maybe would have shot and killed him or whatever.
Right.
That would have been lawful and just.
That would be lawful.
I'm not recommending
y'all.
A civilian
right.
that's open carry or concealed carry to approach a shooter. You know, it's a decision you have to make on your own, and we've seen circumstances where people have interceded and saved lives. But,
yes.
But you've got to approach the person just like a police officer, you know, is going to approach somebody and try to command them to stop. And it usually, when the police use deadly force, it's usually because they try to turn that deadly force on the police officer. That's not to say someone that's a gunman that's shooting, you know, like in the New Orleans case many years ago or whatever, you clearly see they're shooting at people, and you can use deadly force.
Right, that's okay. Let's,
but a building is a little different than clearly shooting at
Let's people. Say there's people hunkered down. I mean, I take this out to nth degree, but people hunkered down behind one of the fake boulders out front there or something like that, and they're catching rounds.
Clear, yeah, if you can see people were hunkered down behind the things out, the pollards and whatever.
There's
out
people there.
People then, sure, you could use deadly force against
that's kind of how that when I thought about it, I said if there were people you were seeing, but just into the side of the building.
Side of the building, you don't know where those bullets are even, you know. Sure, you have enough knowledge to think they're going in the building, but you don't know for sure.
I want to, another text here, too. I think from something we talked about at the beginning of the show, said, why not publish a secret hotline to call when we see and experience negative treatment from law enforcement? Maybe if somebody's wants to report an officer, but wants to be anonymous.
Well, at the sheriff's office, we have a where you can report things to us anonymously. Of course, you know, there's always that thing, well, we could pull the URL or whatever it's called and all like that, try to run down. But, yeah, we accept things anonymously, but we also have confidence in our internal affairs section. If you call and say, look, I don't want to use my name, or I want to report this, and I don't want him to know that, we have deputies that do that, and we hope the public would believe us in that. But sometimes, I mean, it's always best if you let us know who you are, because sometimes you're going to tell us something, and there's always going to be another question that we may want to ask that would be the difference of being able to sustain improper conduct or not sustain it.
Because you might have had a previous report about the same thing from some other.
That's right. Or they may, in reporting it to us, they may say it happened on Thursday a week ago, and all of a sudden he's got an alibi for Thursday, and it turned out that maybe they meant to say Friday or something.
Right.
You know, but some little detail, you know, you just need to have the facts and trust us.
Brian in West Mobile says, like to ask the sheriff, if somebody attempts to carjack you or attempts to remove you from your car, do you have the right to use deadly force?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's go to the phones here, and it's Ricky in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hello, Brother Cochran. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, sir.
Look, I'm a Christian. I got saved back in 1999. I know about y'all way back, you and Barbara, and I really love y'all guys and pray for y'all every day in the whole police department, and really appreciate God putting you in the position he's put you in.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you. I got one question. If the government, like the governor, mayor or something, tries to put an unconstitutional law for y'all to enforce, why is it still in force, even though we know our Constitution and we know our government is out? Like, what can we do about that? You know, I don't understand how the governor of Ivy like make a face mask law when we know the CDC said for the first month, Dr. Fauci said himself that it does not work, the mask don't work, that we just got to deal with the virus and all, you know, everything's on.
Of course,
there,
he changed that. Of course, he changed around on that.
And then he changed it, right?
Yeah.
But who, I mean, he, and he's a scientist, not a doctor. I went to my doctor. I got bronchial asthma. I'm a mouth breather. I can't wear a mask. I really can't. and there's nothing for us, you know, to not wear one, so we just have to not breathe, I guess, and die. But when it comes to what we're going through, and there is unconstitutional, what's the fallout from that for y'all?
Okay, I want to give the sheriff a chance. Let me give the sheriff a chance, and then you can come back to answer. So, Ricky asked, do you enforce an unconstitutional? He believes that, I guess, the mask.
Yeah, wearing a face mask requirement by the governor is unconstitutional. And that's obviously very debatable. I understand it's very debatable, and that's why you've seen law enforcement in our state not really enforcing or arresting anybody. Now, I've seen where they've drug some people out of places and arrested mm-hmm. them across the country, but that's under state laws. Heck, it's all addressed by state law.
There's a sheriff in Alabama that's publicly saying he's not going to.
Yeah. But the governor said, look, I'm not expecting law enforcement to go out and arrest people, but it's just to get that point across how important it is. And of course, with the rapid decline of COVID virus in Alabama since the face mask we required, you know, that lends credence to their argument. But it's truly up to the states to be able to pass it. The federal government can't pass it. Those things about health are left up to the states. You know, they can just recommend.
What Ricky's saying, if I figure it out right, if the governor has that ordinance comes out, that didn't mm-hmm. come through the legislature.
Right.
Is it for law enforcement? Is that a law? Do you see those in the same way when y'all have your meetings and say, here are the new laws, here's what we have to enforce?
Well, we've sort of got the same thing at the local level under the Board of Health. The Board of Health has certain executive powers that are given to them by state law under certain emergency circumstances.
So does that become a law at that point period of time?
Yeah, there's a law that, you know, when the Board of Health declared, you know, to shut down the restaurants and everything, and somebody tested it over in Spanish Fort, if you mm-hmm. recall, and mm-hmm. they went over there and said, hey, you either shut down or we're going to arrest you under these things, because there's an executive order that when they deem it a, you know, pandemic or a health cause, that then they have the right to.
So that thing, that ordinance is
so the
governor's doing law.
Basically the same thing. There's a law that gives her the authority to pass regulations, and there's a law in the books that we could actually charge somebody. But in reality, we know, and we're not going to charge somebody. But, you know, there's other things. If you come in my store and I say, hey, you've got to wear a mask, and you don't want to wear a mask and don't want to get out of the store, then we arrest you for trespassing. We're not going to arrest you for not wearing a mask. Now, Ricky's got a good question. If he truly has what he called bronchial this or that, and I've worn a mask.
He's a mouth breather, he says.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with all the science behind that, but I certainly, my glasses fog up sometimes, and mm-hmm. and I'm trying to shop, and I was trying to see what this is. And it's uncomfortable sometimes.
But there were exceptions, I know, when the ordinance came out.
Yeah.
And this is, once y'all, this isn't me. Y'all understand, this is not a defense or accusation of the governor's move here. It's just a fact that when the governor came out with that, there were exceptions.
Yeah,
I remember lampooning, there were so many exceptions, it would be easy enough to come up
with.
Yeah,
and I think Ricky could do that. So then
he'd have an exemption.
Ricky and the shop owner, he goes in and said, look, I cannot wear a mask. Here's my health thing. Mm-hmm. He might have something from his doctor. And if that shop owner took the time to read his medical statement or something, would say, okay, I get it, I understand. But if they say, no, you still can't come in, then Ricky just needs to take his business elsewhere, because that shop owner has a right to deny anybody business. You don't have a right to shop.
That's preach. Preach. That's the used to be the system that I remembered for our nation.
Yeah.
That you could do that. All right. On this, I've got way more questions on the concealed carry part of this, but somebody was asking about concealed carry. The discussion we have at Bass Pro Shops, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're open carry, concealed carry, had a rifle in the back of the truck.
Exactly.
That is not a concealed carry discussion.
No, exactly. It doesn't come into it. Because like you say, you could have had your hunting rifle in the back,
right,
or you could have been taking your hunting rifle to Bass Pro Shops to be worked on or something, and see this going on. And if you saw them shooting at people or something, then you could pull it out and zero in on them.
I wonder what, you know, and y'all have had enough time probably to interview people, obviously suspects, and over the years. I wonder what kind of a deterrent. And somebody pointed out to me, and I guess I just had never paid attention to the upstairs, the gun shop. I've been up there at Bass Pro Shops, but didn't look what's on people's hip. I think somebody on Twitter yesterday said they were armed. But you know that local gun shops, people I know, they're proudly carrying, you know, mm-hmm. right there on their sign. Have you ever talked to criminals that said, I went over here because that gun shop right there, I know they had guns on their hip? You know what I'm saying? Is that
I'm not that specific thing, but I'm sure that's true. I mean, I've heard criminals say,
if I worked in one, I'd be exactly. I'd open carry.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I'd have a work holster.
I'm going to go down firing, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're a high target area, you know, such as a gun shop, something like that, yeah, I'm sure that if you see the gun shops where people are carrying, yeah, don't get robbed. But quite honestly, I don't really know of a gun shop that's been robbed. You know, I've been burglarized plenty of times, but not actually
And the
robbed.
Difference is?
They figure them people that sell guns use guns, know how to use guns.
Yeah, and they attack those places. Yeah, they burglarize when nobody's there.
They sure don't go in there when the people are there.
That's right.
You know, this Bass Pro Shops is an interesting case, and I hope to see how it plays out because, you know, that guy had an arsenal of weapons. You
yes.
saw it. I mean,
yes.
high-powered rifles and stuff.
But he can only shoot two at a time.
And he's obviously got some mental illness apparently going on, and the family at least is saying on the news that he's not had any trouble in the past except for the past week. Well, I want to see the investigation, see, has that guy suffered from mental illness for several years or something? And should he have been in the system? You know, until just a couple of years ago, if you'd been committed or something for incompetent mental health, you still were not put in the system to deny the purchase of guns. So he may be one of those persons that over the years had mental health issues, should have been in the system and should have been denied those guns. But because the gun lobby was so strong for so long, we couldn't even get the laws to change to require them to be put in there. So I want to see that, and I want to see if he has any record of violence. But obviously, he probably doesn't have any criminal history because he wouldn't have been able to buy a gun.
You know, the
mental
fight,
health issue is the key.
And the tough thing on that, I think, is looking around other states versus mm-hmm. us. Because you'll see stories that they give an inch and they take a mile on Second Amendment in other states.
Yeah.
And so it has made people that are Second Amendment advocates here in Alabama say, well, it could happen in Massachusetts, it could happen here. But the problem is it left us with this situation, number one, when former Governor Bentley shut down the mental facilities, mm-hmm. you know, so many people were out, and then not being tagged and being able to buy firearms. I think you'll get the majority of folks, where they are on the spectrum, will say, folks that have a severe, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. issue here, violent tendencies, you know, mental instability and violent tendencies, we gotta check that before they can go.
Right. Well, see, the family said for the past week he was acting really strange. Well, Alabama doesn't have a red flag law, and several states in the past few years have passed them, but they're in all variances. You know, some probably are good, some probably are bad, too restrictive. But had we had a red flag law, and if the family knew he had all these firearms and said he's really acting crazy and talking, you know, they could have called and said, look, this guy, the red flag law would let law enforcement go out and seize his guns, either with a warrant from a judge or seize them and then get a warrant from a judge. You know, that's part of the differences in red flags. But there still needs to be some debate on red flag laws, but that might could have played into this.
All right, coming right back, more with Sheriff Cochran.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in the studio, and your chance to ask the sheriff. You can hop on the line or run through a couple of these questions here from the text line. All right, Sam in Saraland asking Sheriff Cochran, as a homeowner, if the same thing happened here in Mobile County that happened to the McCloskey couple in St. Louis, do I have the right to protect my home and family in the same manner as they did? Is that legal?
I think it's completely legal. They had some people that had forcibly broke into the neighborhood, a gated neighborhood, and were, I think, threatening them, and all they did was display weapons that they had a right to display on their own property in an effort to let the people know, you know, hey, we're armed and we're going to defend ourselves. I absolutely saw nothing wrong with that whatsoever, and if I remember right, didn't the Attorney General for that state move to dismiss those charges?
Yeah, because wasn't it the DA that brought the charge?
DA brought the charge. I cannot believe how incompetent of a decision that was, but that's what's going on in some of our cities, and that's what's happening to police officers. When they see somebody like that make a decision like that, they need to pick up and move, or, you know, obviously elect a new DA. But that's what's happening at some of this in craziness.
That really did bother me when that DA brought that, because the DA could be anti-Second Amendment or whatever, but they're charged with a job. I mean, I see political lean by elected officials around the country, but
they still do pretty clear in the law, and they're supposed to follow the law and not do what's going to make them look good in front of their constituents. And I would just hate to think that she thought that was going to make her look good in her constituents. And if that's what she
represents, but how do you retain that job? Isn't there a mechanism in state government to go? I mean, if all of a sudden, District Attorney Ashley Rich decided that DUIs are okay.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm not enforcing that. And the folks that want to drink and drive are going to support me. But there'd be a mechanism to remove, wouldn't you believe?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the voters in the public are smart enough to see through those shenanigans. Just like some DA in another city said she was not going to enforce the law against people that were pilfering unless you prove that they didn't need the item they were stealing or something.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But there's people out there, and they're being elected. It's crazy the times we live in. But there are mechanisms when somebody does something like that, at least we can file an appeal and go to a higher court. And at the end of the day, the courts generally, most always, rule with good common sense and interpret the laws. But we always have a few judges, state, local, or federal, that get off the tracks sometimes, and we've seen a few of those cases recently where, you know, a higher judge comes back and corrects them. And even some of our liberal courts have come back and corrected some of their own liberal judges.
I believe there's still those people out there. I know that's one of the things that puts me at odds with a lot of people, but I think there are still people out there that have political beliefs and strong political beliefs, but still believe in the rule of law and say, I disagree with this, but the law says this. Our system.
That's our system, and it's the best system we know and what we can make. And just like what the John, I can't think, I was drawing blank, that even he who hates Trump so bad come out and said, look, I was there, and I never saw none of that.
John Bolton.
Bolton, yeah.
And that stood out, yeah.
When a guy that hates him, then he's going to say, look, the truth is the truth.
He said, you know, President Trump's going to call people names and do all this stuff. I mean, and heck, you know, they're in lawsuit against each other right now over the book and stuff. But he said, factually, I never heard him, he didn't say that.
Yeah.
So. More of that, please, in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick mention, you know, we've got our team sheriff cooking for the first responders over in Lake Charles, and many people have called us and wanted to see if they could help out, so I tell them they could go to our Facebook page, and we have a list of if anybody wants to contribute to help the folks over there. And we're feeding, I think, 900 plus a day now over there. We're doing about 300 people at each meal. And so,
y'all listen to that. And these are first responders over there that may not have their own homes.
That's right. So we're just trying to ease the pain for them and just help out where we can help out. And of course, it brings us a lot of, you know, benefit, you know, just feel good. And it teaches our people and, you know, and they learn from how to put out mass meals, you know, and produce and all, to where if we have a major catastrophe here, then they're better prepared to help the rest of us here.
I mean, it's Mobile County folks doing what we do, taking care of other folks.
That's it.
We're proud of y'all doing that. So on the Facebook page, we can find the list, because I know you'll have continuing needs.
And there's been some different business people that have stepped up and helped us, you know, with trucks and help us get supplies over there. And again, it's we're happy to do it.
All right. So go to the Team Sheriff Facebook page, get the items needed there. And as y'all have more needs on donations and stuff, just let us know. We'll pass
everybody
it on.
Posting. We got a lot of pictures on there about what we're doing over there. And that place is tore up. From the ground up.
Well, the pictures I've gotten from my friends and with fire rescue that were working there, they said bad.
Yes.
Real bad. All right. We'll keep them in our prayers and keep those donations coming for the efforts to feed the folks, first responders, over in Calcasieu Parish in Lake Charles. Sheriff Cochran, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate your listeners.
All right.
Lots of good comments.
It's always good. And he'll be back next month.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good deal.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.